to the Sunday after Easter. Easter traditionally seems to be an unbelievable day filled with smiles, and rightly so. A day filled with clear blue skies. Everybody seems to be talking and happy, and rightly so, as we're all celebrating the resurrection and the salvation that is possible as a result, which is the biggest reason why we come to Easter or any Sunday or any day for that matter and smile. In fact, we better be smiling ear to ear because of the resurrection. This year, though, we all know it was a little different. Okay, it was really a lot different. Now, we still should be smiling. Here we are, though, a week later, 7 days later, we've gone through another week of all of this stuff. So checking in again, we're a month or so into this. How are we doing? How are you doing? How's your family doing? How's school going? How's the job going? Our heart goes out to everybody as there's so many things going on and so many emotions that are felt. Some are transitioning out of jobs. Some have lost jobs. Some have to be on pause. And so all of that is creating anxiety and it's creating worry. And we talked about last week that we could be freed from all that worry. We give it to God and trust that He is in total control and He'll take care of it. We just got to hold on. If I was to ask you to share a personal story from this past week or maybe the past couple of weeks where in your household there's been maybe some conflict, maybe some verbal conflict, some arguing, maybe some yelling, kid versus kid, parent to kid, kid to parent. I know in the Wilder household, there's been, let's just say, some of that. In fact, last night, my kids are, you know, all of us are figuring out different things to do, and my kids have done the same, and we've got this thing called a tumble track. And it's basically this long, like 20 or 30 foot track that's filled with air, and you can do cheerleading exercises on it, gymnastic type things on it. Well, they've turned this thing into a slip and slide. And so they put this on our porch, and we figured out all kinds of games to do with it, to catch the ball, to slide and catch the ball and throw the ball and stand up again and twist and all this stuff. And so as most of you know, we have four kids. Oldest, Reese, is a sophomore in high school, and Daisy, youngest, second grade, seven, going on 17. So Daisy all of a sudden just starts screaming. It's late last night. We're not trying to bother the neighbors or anything. So she's screaming. And so my wife and I are thinking she has slipped and busted her head and there's blood everywhere. And, you know, all of that that goes with those kinds of things. So I saw my wife come out and open the porch sliding door. What's wrong, guys? What's wrong? Is everybody okay? Do we need to call 911? And Daisy, bless her heart, in her tears and in her loud scream, she says, "Mommy, Mommy, Lexi squirted me with water." Really? Thanks, Daisy. I think you're going to be okay. Listen, if we're to be real, there's a lot of different things going inside our houses right now. Now, what we've said before is we're going to try to turn all the negatives into positives. But we're trying to apply Romans 8:28. And we know that God is up to something and God is orchestrating and He's bigger than all of this. And so we know that we're to bring God glory through it all and be conformed into His Son's image through all of this. And so just be encouraged through the good moments and through the difficult moments. Just hang in there. We're all in this together. A couple of weeks back, we looked at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. And we observed that Jesus taught us first to bring Him glory, to bring the Father glory and worship and praise based on His character of who He is. Hallowed be Your name. And then He taught us to submit to the will of the Father. And that's a game changer. That His will is best. Whether we submit or not, it's a game changer in our life. But we're going to continue that conversation today because it's so big, it's so important, it's vital. Even though we may not understand what God is up to, how about that? There's a lot of people that are not understanding what in the world's going on. Many times, God may be working or doing something and orchestrating, and we go through something difficult. We don't understand it. We don't even agree with it from our perspective. Even though we don't have the capacity to sometimes see the big picture about what God is doing, we may not even experience the outcome or result. On this side of heaven, we might not ever know what God was up to, but we know that He's in control and He's up to His orchestration that's going to bring Him glory and it's going to conform us to His Son's image. And that's all good. So even though we're going through these things, we need ultimately, and the game-changing point in our lives is that we need to submit to Him. As hard as that is, we need to submit to Him. And we asked ourselves these two questions. We said, okay, it comes down to this. Ultimately, do I trust God enough to submit my whole heart to Him? Do I trust Him enough? And secondly, do I really love Him enough to submit my whole heart to Him? It's what it really comes down to. In other words, if my heart was a house, see if you can relate to this. Sometimes we say to God, God, I'll give you the foyer. I'll even give you the dining room. I'll give you the kitchen. But the rest of the house, that's got to be mine. I can't give you that. I've got to keep those rooms for myself. God tells us, but I want the entire house. I own it all anyways, remember? I see every room anyways, remember? So you're not hiding anything from me. And then we respond, but God, what about all the dirty clothes that I hide in the closet? What about that closet? Yep. God says, yeah, I want that closet too. All the dirty clothes, give it to me. God, but what about all the old junk? That nasty stuff that's in the corner of the garage. I don't really want you to see that part. God says, yep, that too. I want that too. God, but what about my man cave? I can't really give up my man cave. And God says, well, especially that one. For sure, that one. And we have trouble giving our entire house over to God, don't we? We have trouble giving it all to Him. The whole thing, the entire thing, from corner to corner, all the square footage. God wants all of it, every part of it. He wants our whole hearts, every bit of it, even the part that we try to hide. He wants it. Jeremiah 29:13, a very familiar verse. God says, you will seek me and find me. And we say, when? When, God? When can we find you? Well, when you seek me with all your heart, with your whole heart, all of it, not part of it, all of it, you'll find me. But many times we say we can't give up our whole hearts. The root of this selfishness is because, of course, of our sin nature. And we find ourselves living life like this. It's all about me, myself, and I. The world revolves around who? Me, of course. It's about my update. It's about my followers. It's about my situation, my way, my things, my money. It's my world, right? if we allow our sin nature to lead the way, that's kind of how we're approaching things on a regular basis. And Jesus says, though, it's not about us. It's about him. Therefore, we need to stop living for me, and I need to start living for him. It's impossible, when you think about it, to live for me and live for Jesus at the same time. In fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, he explains it this way. He says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other." They're in conflict with each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so you've got the Holy Spirit, our spirit nature, in conflict with our self nature, our sin nature. And it's like they're in battle all day, every day. And who's going to win the battle? The Bible says we must feed the Spirit for the Spirit to win this battle. But if you feed our sin nature, the sin nature is going to win the battle. But when we feed the Spirit, when the Spirit wins, we are able to deny ourselves. We're able to deny the approach to life where it's all about me and everything centers around me. When the Spirit leads the way, now we're saying, "God, no, it's not about me. You're right. It's about you." And we find ourselves submitting to him. We talked about that last week. We're able to stop making it about us, and we're able to start following Jesus. So this past week, this past month, if we've been living for ourselves, we've not allowed the Spirit of God to lead the way in our lives. Right? I mean, that's just the bottom line. And what that means is, if we haven't allowed the Spirit to lead, if we're to be real, it means that we haven't fed the Spirit. And if we haven't fed the Spirit, what that means, I'm starting to preach to myself now, what that means is this, that I haven't spent time in God's Word. I've been too busy. I've been too worried about too many other things, maybe, we'll say, right? And we haven't been able to fit God in. So I haven't spent time in my Bible or worship or prayer, and therefore haven't fed the Spirit. And so now I'm not being led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. In fact, on the contrary, remember, the sin nature is there. Now in that moment, winning the battle, and now I've got sin nature leading the way. And now when I go to work, it's all about me. When I approach my spouse, it's all about me. When I approach not only my spouse, but my kids, it's all about me. It's all about me. When I approach anything, when sin nature leads the way. This is just the truth. And so when we are rah-rah Jesus last week at Easter, 7 days later, have we made it about us again? We have to get to a place of submission to God. And we got to stay there. We got to camp there. We got to live there. And we got to fight the desire to go back, to let sin nature lead the way. That is if we want to bring God glory. That is if we want to walk in victory. And that is if we want to be an effective witness for the cause of Christ. Now, if we don't care about those things, then let your sin nature lead the way. But that's not why we're here on this earth. That's not why God has us alive, to receive the gift of life, to live another day and to have another breath, is to give him glory, right? Is to give him glory, is to strengthen and advance his kingdom, to live in victory, to be an effective witness for him. And that's ultimately why we're here. And he's given us all these platforms, our jobs, our families, our churches, our neighbors, our activities. He gives us those platforms to simply live that out to the maximum, to maximize that highest of purposes that he has us here to do. And we all said, easier said than done, Pastor. Right. That's why you need Jesus. That's why I need Jesus. And that's why we've got to be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we don't stand a chance to live in that way. Jesus says in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He's telling us the same thing today. For whoever would save his life will lose it. That's the selfish life. You're about me first. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so that's why submitting to God's will or not submitting to God's plans for our lives is a game changer. It's critical. And we're all being tested in that. Towards the extreme of that conversation in the day and age of the coronavirus and all that is coming with that, both past, now, and then what the future holds for us. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to submit to the Father's will. And then after he begins his prayer to the Father with adoration, and then Jesus prays this in Matthew 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there we have. In submitting to God's will, our perspective on everything is impacted. Every phase of our life will begin to be changed as we start submitting to him, especially with what's going on right now. Okay? So we're being tested, no doubt. Whether we live selfishly or selflessly is being tested every day. And how would we do on that test and that evaluation? If our kids evaluated us, what kind of grade would we get on living selfishly or selflessly? Or what grade would we give our kids and our family? And how are we doing? So we're being tested, and this is the time for the church to rise up, especially to be God's light and to be leading the way and what it looks like to trust him and live for him and all of that. Are we passing the test? Trusting ourselves or trusting God in heaven? How are we doing? So today, we're just going to look at two outcomes of what some call the I'm third lifestyle. God first, other second, and I'm third. These two outcomes, when applied, will help us bring God glory. It'll help us live victoriously and also be effective for the cause of Christ along the way. And that's what we want to do, no matter the situation we find ourselves in. So the lifestyle that dies to self but lives for Christ, the first outcome to that lifestyle finds consistency in the middle of all the inconsistency that life brings. And so here's the question. How do we consistently seek God with our whole hearts when the world around us keeps changing? When our circumstances keep changing? Sometimes for the worse. Last week, Easter Sunday can be seen as a spiritual high, a high attendance Sunday. Everyone's smiling. We talked about it, even virtually. But then we get back to real life, and life becomes kind of like a roller coaster. At times, we're excited about God. At other times, we're not as much. Sometimes we're hot, and then other times we find ourselves cold. One of the biggest struggles in America is we often find ourselves caught going through the motions and lukewarm. Finding consistency in the middle of life's roller coaster ride is very difficult. I need to get my Bible brought to me. It's in the back row in the backpack. Listen, we're going to open our Bibles. I want you to get your Bibles too, whether it's on your cell phone or whether it's you got to go get it off the shelf, whatever. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 42 and 43. I'm going to do the same thing as well. All right, I'm right there with you. Psalm chapter 42 and 43. Let's look at this together, because this is my go-to passage when we talk about life's ups and downs, life's loops and twists, life's roller coaster, and to help us answer that question, how do we remain consistent in the middle, right smack in the middle of all these inconsistencies, and even when our emotions are up and down and all over the place? Psalm chapter 42, verse 1. Now, I want you to determine as we read this, is the psalmist, is he on an emotional high or low? Is the psalmist at a point where he is seeking God or not? For each of these verses we read. Verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Now, if the psalmist is thirsty for God, wouldn't we conclude that the psalmist is seeking after God? So we would say that would be a spiritual high. You're seeking after God. You're going for the things of God. You're hungry for God. All right? Verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? It's kind of like us saying, I can't wait for church next week. In fact, I'm going to get online and go to get more church. I'm going to go to view other churches as well. I want to get more of God. I want to get in my word more. I want to pray more. I want to worship more. That kind of sounds like the first two verses of Psalm 42, right? And so all that is upbeat. It's seeking after God. The emotions are right there with them. The spiritual climate is good. And then we go get to verse 3. The psalmist says, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Can you relate to the psalmist? I can. And one moment we're excited and we're fired up and we're feeling good. Maybe that's last Sunday. But after this week and we get to this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, and we go, I'm not feeling so good anymore. People are questioning me in this. In fact, I'm questioning this. We find ourselves at an emotional low point, or maybe a spiritual low point. So we've been up and now we're low. Verse 4, the psalmist says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God. And so the psalmist is now remembering when God has shown up in his life, when God has proven faithful in his life. So as people are questioning, and as he's spiritually down, he's remembering the marking moments in his life where God showed up. And that's the same for us. When we're low, when we're questioning or being questioned, we go back to those moments where God clearly showed up. We experienced him. And what will that do? That will encourage us and propel us forward to get through that next challenge. He continues with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. All right. So he's spiritually back up again. He's back seeking God again. But then we take another turn. Up, down, up, down. Can anybody relate to that? Verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Here we go again. We're down again. We're analyzing what's going on inside our hearts again, and we're saying, What's going on? God, where are you? Up and down and up and down. And here's the key. I love this. The psalmist continues in verse 5. Put your hope in God. Now, do you sense this? No matter the ups, no matter the downs, no matter what the circumstances are, put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. No matter what, no matter what we're going through, we're going to find a way to praise God. We're going to find a way to bring him glory. No matter where my emotions are, whether they're up or down, I'm going to give God his due praise. Do you hear that, what the psalmist is saying? And then in the rest of that chapter, in the next chapter, he repeats that chorus two more times. So a total of three times. And we know when the Bible repeats, we need to memorize that passage. We need to circle it, underline it, highlight it, and we need to for sure apply it to our life. No matter the circumstance, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Would we do that? Submitting to God's authority, no matter what we find ourselves in, and bringing Him praise. We're being tested in that area with the coronavirus and everything that we're going through and all the changes and all the inconsistencies. But if we're able to do that, seek God no matter what, then we're going to be able to experience His consistency in the middle of all the inconsistencies. Another outcome, our last one this morning, is the outcome of a die-to-self lifestyle, which I believe is a big challenge for America today. Okay? It's this. Finding fulfillment in the middle of unfulfilling times. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. He's grateful for their concern for him. They're supporting him. And Paul communicates the secret of being content. During the times of plenty, he's found a way to be content. And some say, well, that's pretty easy. Well, yeah, but when times of plenty, sometimes it goes to our head and all of a sudden we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. But what about the other times? During times of nothing, during the dry season. And some of us are finding ourselves in that type of season right now. And Paul says, I've found the secret of being content, whether it's a dry season or whether it's a season of plenty. Philippians 4, verse 10. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. All right, this is critical and this is key. As we submit to God's will and we find contentment and we find fulfillment no matter our circumstance. Okay, now let's quickly look at the context of where Paul's coming from, because he's speaking from unbelievable experience of highs and lows. In his second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul articulates his resume. And man, did he experience the highest of highs and also the lowest of lows. He's in the middle of addressing the difference of boasting from a non-Christian's perspective and then from a Christian's perspective and who we boast in. And so he says in the beginning of 2 Corinthians, let's go chapter 11 and the second part of 21. I'll start there. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Now, here's where he gets into his resume and he's experiencing the highest of highs. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? Yeah, so am I. Are they offsprings of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. So now he's going from the highest of highs and now the lowest of lows. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Now, I thought my life was going pretty bad until I read this. Right? This is a big perspective check for us. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure that continued to weigh on him, he says, the anxiety, the burden that he felt for all the churches. All right, so that's a lot. He expressed the highs and the lows in that one passage. And so Paul is speaking from experience when he writes the Philippian church, and he knows what he's talking about. He tells them he's found the secret of being content no matter where he finds himself in the spectrum of life. in the roller coaster of life. No matter if he's in a fulfilling time or an unfulfilling time, a dry season or a time of plenty, he knows the secret on where he finds his strength and fulfillment. Therefore, he can be joyful no matter what. So we pick back up in Philippians 4, verse 12. In any and every circumstance, Paul says, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And so here's the secret for him and also for us today. Game changer, verse 13. We've heard this before. He says, here's the secret. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That when Jesus is my strength, I can do all things. Now, many of us, myself included, I've used this verse in sports. I say, I'm gonna quote this verse and memorize this verse and pray this verse so I can score a touchdown. So I can get that ball through the hoop. So I can hit a home run. But in this context, this message is the secret. That's not about hitting home runs and scoring touchdowns. But when the secret is applied, it leads to spiritual energy that Jesus provides to make it through anything effectively in a way that will bring God glory, in a way that will be a representative of him, where at the end of it all, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It'll all bring him glory, and we live victoriously and we live effectively. And so it's our secret during this time of the coronavirus of filled with unpredictability. It's our secret when we get sick that Jesus Christ is our strength. It's our secret when our income is decreased, or in some cases it's lost, and we're saying, what are we going to do next month? It's our secret. It's the secret to apply to our lives is that Jesus will be your strength. And it's going to be scary, but you got to give it over to him. You got to submit to him and watch how the God that spoke this world into existence will come through ultimately in a way that will bring him glory and conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so when we think about it, is Jesus our strength? Have we been living like that? Really, where are we finding our strength? If we're to be real, is it in the stock market? What happened to that? Is it in our resources? Sometimes we're losing that, and that's being lost on a regular basis. Is it in our talent? Is it in our platforms, our jobs? Is it in our retirement plan? All of that is being shaken. All our foundation of life is being tested, maybe in ways like never before. So we know that God's on the move and God's bigger than it all. He's clearly orchestrating. Satan's trying to do his thing. As usual, we expect that. But God is going to show up bigger than that. And our strength is not nearly enough to make it through the now and what's ahead. We won't be able to do it if we continue to rely on our strength. It's got to be the strength of Jesus Christ, the secret that Paul found. Trusting in the character of God before the provision of God will be the ultra important truth that we need to grab onto in the days ahead. Did you get what I just said? Sometimes we use God before we trust God. We need to trust in the character of God, that he is faithful, that he is good, that he is holy, that he is in control. We need to trust that before we go to him and sort of use him for his provision. He'll provide. But we go to him and trust in his character first. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. You want to live a consistently content life in the middle of all the inconsistencies, even when and during the unfulfilling times, your strength has got to be Jesus Christ. Even if things change for the worse, we can still continue to find joy and fulfillment with the strength of Jesus Christ. We know the secret. Will we finally submit to the strength of Jesus above our own? Will we finally get there today? For today, will we get there this week? We're going to be tested maybe bigger this week. Will we get there for the rest of our lives? Let's be empowered by God's Spirit and operating with the strength of Jesus to do what? To find consistency in the middle of all the inconsistencies that we're all facing right now, and to find fulfillment even during the unfulfilling times. This coronavirus situation is testing us, we know, in many areas. In this area of submitting to yourself, ourselves, or God, for sure. Remember, it comes down to, who do we love more, ourselves or Jesus? Who do we trust more, ourselves or Jesus? And so that is a silver lining in this whole thing, because we're our foundation of our, and our character values that we've shaped on the truth of the Word of God or not, we have an opportunity to apply that every day, every week. And as the church and as Christians, can we lead the way in what it looks like? Not to live perfectly, no, not at all. But to be founded in seeking after the perfect one, yes. And to find our strength from the perfect, the source of the perfect one, Jesus Christ, yes. And then God will activate His power and His Spirit in our lives in ways that we can't, and others will be pointed to the cross. Others will be pointed to the love of God. But we can't do it our way. We got to do it His way. Can't wait to see you next time. God bless you.